What a privilege for us to be together in this place on Sunday morning. Put ourselves in the path of the gospel, believing that God will meet us here in the bread, in the wine, in the words, and lead us forward in faith. We have a reading this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter. I just want to let this wash over you this morning. Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take a moment with those words. Close your eyes and hear them as if Jesus were speaking them directly to you, personally to you, holding on to you and saying to you this morning, "Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Are you weary this morning? Is your heart heavy with burdens? Burdens that you might imagine that no one else could possibly understand? I've been thinking about these words of Jesus, "Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I've been thinking about those words since Father's Day, when I last stood here with you and worshiped by your side. I've been mulling over those words of Jesus that I knew would be the focus of our worship this morning. The past 2 weeks, Felicia and I have been worshiping with the Catholics in France. 2 weeks ago, we worshiped at the Cathedral Church of Notre Dame in Dijon, France. Last week, we joined the faithful of Dole, France, at the Cathedral Church that sits at the Acropolis of Dole, at the highest point of the ancient city. Now, that cathedral was completed in 1509 as a young monk in Germany by the name of Martin Luther was about to begin the Protestant Reformation. Inside the church, we worshiped with the faithful of France in a small crowd in expansive worship space. To be honest, most in the village, they stayed away, going to the park, enjoying the local pastries of the boulangeries, which dot every block. We worshiped on simple wooden chairs in a language that we did not understand. On occasion, the rhythm would be recognizable, the Lord's Prayer or one of the historic creeds. The sermon itself was 6 minutes long. Not a single joke, no laughter, and I could not understand a single point that the priest made. So perhaps I was finally experiencing what it's like to be sitting where you are every time I preach, even though it takes me much longer to make my unintelligible points. But I sat there, I could not help but wonder why these people come every week. And I could not help but think of you, some 5,000 miles away, waking up on a Sunday morning to come to the Cathedral Church of Freeland to worship. And running through my mind that morning, with all of the French being spoken around me, were the words of Jesus, "Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This is an invitation from Jesus. This is also a promise. If you are weary, if you are carrying heavy burdens, you will somehow find your rest in Jesus. If you are weary and carrying heavy burdens, you are not alone. People of every land and every race know what it is to carry heavy burdens. You know, as human beings, we are unique in creation. We are a unique part of God's creation, created in the very image of God. Females are created in the image of God, men too. Jews and Greeks are created in the image of God. Muslims and Christians are created in the image of God. And consistent among all humans is the need to rest. None of us can survive without rest. Some of us sleep 6 hours a night. Some of us sleep 8 hours a night. Some of us nap during the day. Some nap during my sermons. I understand. Rest. In the small towns of France, most businesses close for an hour or two during lunch. Even the lock keepers close for lunch as the river traffic waits for the green lights of the locks to beckon them forward. Rest. Rest, you see, is not optional. It is central to creation. In the Genesis creation story, the animals were made in a single day. Humans were created in a single day. And the final day of creation was dedicated to something equally as important. Rest. We cannot live without rest. Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." But Jesus was not talking about sleep in this text. This was not an early marketing plan for a hotel chain. Motel 6 will keep the lights on for you. Holiday Inn Palestine, JW Marriott Jerusalem. No, clearly something else was going on in this text. Something much deeper. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray. Part of that prayer is, "Give us this day our daily bread." Sleep is in that list of daily bread. Sleep is a part of our daily bread. Daily bread includes the bare minimums for our existence, what our bodies need for daily living. Jesus repeatedly showed us that God cares about our daily bread. Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus fed those who were hungry. Jesus healed the sick. But something else is going on in this text. "Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So what do we need to experience the rest that Jesus is talking about here? So I came up with this acronym or acrostic or whatever it is. I'm not really sure. If there's an English person out there who major could help me, that would be great. But let's take a look at this. Rest. As we pull that up, the R is going to stand for reside. We need a place to reside, a safe place, a sanctuary. If we are to rest, we need a place to rest. This safe place for us, it may be a physical place like the one that you are sitting in today, but maybe not. Maybe it's just a place that we go to in our minds or in our hearts. It is the knowledge that ultimately we reside with the one who created us. For people of faith throughout the ages have found such a place of rest, even in jail or prison, even in hospital beds or in hospice care. The place is the presence of God. The R is a place to reside. The E is for escape. Now, Christianity is in no way an escape from the world. We know that to follow Jesus is to engage more fully in creation, with our neighbors, to love and serve as Jesus did, to go to the ends of the earth sharing the good news. But real rest requires an emptying of ourselves, letting go of the momentary, letting go of the mundane, taking leave from the problems that plague us, knowing that we can better address those problems after we have rested. But this is really hard to do. And I would maintain that it's harder today than any other time in history. And if you don't believe me, just try unplugging and resting for an hour or two. I came upon a distressed woman at the ferry terminal a couple of weeks ago. She was 50-ish, well-dressed, pulling a suitcase, and she was in a panic. She asked if she could use my phone. I said, "Of course you can use my phone, but is there something that I could do to help you?" Exasperated, She said that she'd been dropped off at the ferry. She was headed to SeaTac to catch a flight, and she had, are you ready for this horrific scenario? She had left her cell phone at home. So she wanted to use my phone to call her phone. I asked if anyone was at home. She said no. The phone was there by itself. And I said, then perhaps calling your phone's not a good idea. But she was in a panic. We talked for a little bit, and it seemed to me that she really only had two options, so trying to be helpful, I shared those with her. I said, the way I figure it, you can go and get your phone and miss a flight, or given the fact that your trip is only 3 days, maybe you could just go without your phone. She looked at me with disdain, like I was from another planet or another time. She said, if I left my phone, it would ruin my whole trip. Now, I'm not sure what she did, but my guess is that many of us here today can relate to that story. And as a result, we rarely find a place away, a place of peace, a quiet place where we can reside with the God who created the garden and not with the God of technology, which is perhaps coincidentally called Apple. The S is for security. Security is important. It's easier to rest at home when the doors are locked, when we are not afraid. We know that God's most common phrase to people in the Bible is do not be afraid. It puts us at ease. We need security. And the final, the T, is for trust. If we are to find the rest that Jesus desires for us, then we must trust in something outside of ourselves. Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Trust me. Come to me. Have faith in me. Believe in something that cannot be proven. Trust. We must trust in mysteries that are outside of our own understanding. Now, every night when we lay our heads down to sleep, what do? Well, we trust in a mysterious system that we cannot understand. A system of God's creation. Think about it. What do you do before you go to bed? You set your alarm clock. You turn out the lights. You lock the doors. And then you close your eyes, trusting that somehow, without your thought or without your attention, that your heart will know to keep beating. And your lungs will continue to take in air. And that your body will continue to regulate your temperature and heal itself as you sleep. That the world will keep spinning on its axis and the sun will come up and greet you in the morning. And I got to tell you, folks, if you had to manage all that, if you had to worry about all that, then there would be no rest for you. Jesus said, come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Not sleep, but rest. Now, I could stop there. I think my 6 minutes is up. But somehow the Word of God needs to crawl up in my lap that I might understand it in a very personal way. For Christianity is primarily a matter of the heart. So I'd invite you to open your hearts as we close this sermon. In a small village in France, off the river Say, in the village of Losey, there was a small school in that village square. You see it there. The village was very, very small. Also in the square was a monument, this monument. It was a monument to the morts of France, the mortalities, the martyrs from 1914 to 1918. Listed there were the boys from the village who had died in the war to end all wars, World War I. Looking at that monument, I was transfixed. I was haunted as I imagined the faces of the 48 young men who had walked out of the school that was to my right and off to war and had died. One family had lost 3 sons. I could not help but think of the grief. The mothers and fathers who in a real sense had died with their sons. Mothers and fathers whose lives would forever be casualties of war. And I couldn't help but think, how could this village even go on? How could a village this small go on after losing a generation of their sons? 48 young men in a village of 500 people. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A few days later, in the town of Gray, population 6,000, I came across this memorial. In this town, 300 boys had heeded the call of their beloved homeland and never returned from World War I. 300 martyrs for France in a town of 6,000 people. My reflective prayer there was broken then by the deep resonating sound of church bells, bells that were now ringing at the highest point of the city. We made our way to the church. It was here in this majestic cathedral that the young men's funerals had been held 100 years earlier, sometimes 10 funerals a month. It was there that I found Jesus. When I least expected it, in that cathedral, in the path of the gospel, he met me there. To the right of the altar was a side chapel. It was a memorial chapel that read on one side, memorial, on the other side, 1914 to 1918. And in between those two memorial plaques was a sculpture chosen for this holy place. It was a Pietà-like depiction of a mother and a son. It was Mary, a woman, a mother, one who had labored to bring her son into the world, one who had nurtured her baby to adulthood, now holding her son in grief, Mary clinging to the broken body of her son. Mary, the mother, in the midst of human grief, a loss beyond comprehension, a loss that had become all too common to the mothers of this town. The mothers of Gray who buried their sons. The mothers of Gray who had carried their sons dead to this church found themselves in Mary. They knew more than most what she had been through. They knew her passion, for their sons too were martyrs for a higher cause. Their sons too had laid down their lives for others. In the midst of their tears, for decades they would return to this chapel. For decades the mothers came. They came carrying heavy burdens. They came to pray. They came to remember. They came to long for a promised heavenly reunion. And they found rest in the mother of our Lord. They found hope as Mary held her lifeless son in her arms 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And Mary cried and waited for the promised resurrection. Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take a moment with those words. Are you weary this morning? Is your heart weighed down with burdens, heavy laden with fears that you imagine no one else could possibly understand? Well, here's the good news, my friends. Your journey is not new. You are not alone on this journey. The roads that we walk have been watered by the tears of our ancestors. And Jesus comes to us this morning and says, "Do not be afraid. There is one who knows you. I know you. There is one who understands. I understand." And on this 9th day of July, that one meets us where? In bread and wine, in a body broken, in blood shed, saying, "Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." That's not just any word. That's the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd invite you.